I'm really excited about this morning because we're kicking off a brand new series. And the name of our series is one word. The name of our series is Flourish. Flourish. We started the year out with the word soar. Amen. Remember our series on soar. And I believe this is just a companion series to soaring, and that is flourishing. Amen. And really, it was kind of interesting. Last week, Brother Moore ended with Psalms 92. So that's where I'm going to start this morning. The 92nd Psalm. And I want you to notice with me in verse 12. Psalm 92 and in verse 12. It says, the righteous shall flourish. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. The righteous shall flourish. If we are going to flourish, we must be conscious of the fact that we are in Him and we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. See, if there is sin consciousness in our lives, sin consciousness will hold us down. It will hold us back from answered prayer. It'll hold us back in our walk of faith. It will hold us back completely in every area of life. Because when we're sin conscious, it's this, oh, I'm just a victim. I'm just so unworthy. You know, why would God do this for me? It's not a question of why would God do this for me. The answer is He's already done it. He's already done it by His grace. Now, righteousness is who you are. Point to yourself and say, righteousness is who I am. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says this, for He has made Him to be sin for us, that we might be made. We don't grow into righteousness. We've been made righteous. We don't attain some sort of spiritual pinnacle before Jesus looks at us as righteous. No, He already came to the pinnacle. He already rose over death, hell, and the grave. And He has made you and I the righteousness of God in Christ. Glory to God. See, He became sin with our sinfulness, that we might be made righteous with His righteousness. He took our sinful condition so that we could take on His righteous condition. And right standing with God and being aware of that will help you to flourish and to bear fruit in your life. As I said a moment ago, we don't grow in righteousness, but we do grow in the revelation of it. I got the revelation of righteousness back in the 70s. Many of you know my testimony. If there was anyone that felt guilty, if there's anyone that felt condemned, it was me. Because I looked at the past, I saw an old sinner. But when I came into the family of God, and as the truth was given to me, as a seed planted, and as it has been watered over the years, the revelation of this righteousness just keeps growing in me. I can remember the night before that I was admitted into the state hospital in Wilmer, Minnesota. I was at my parents' home. I revealed to them that I was a heroin addict. I showed them my arms. They embraced me with love, especially my father. Thank God for my earthly father. They did not kick me out on the streets, but they opened up their hearts and they said, we'll get you into the best treatment place possible. Amen. Back in those days, the best treatment place possible in Minnesota was Hazleton. It cost a lot of money, but they would not take people that had not yet been detoxed. And I was not detoxed. I was full of drugs and full of things that were hindering my life. So I can remember that morning, the only place that would take me was a state hospital. And they had drug addicts there and They had alcoholics there, and they had other people that had multiple challenges. And there were several buildings there. And it was quite a scary experience for me. But I was in the back seat of my dad's car. And I think that I was probably wrapped up in a blanket, maybe two blankets, because I was getting cold. And I was starting to detox and withdraw from the drugs that I had been doing for years and years. Well, I went through treatment. And on March 17th, I went in October. On March 17th, 1975, I gave my heart to Jesus. 2 weeks later, I was discharged from the hospital and got filled with the Holy Ghost. Just like many of you have been filled with the Holy Ghost. And then Jim Caseman, who Brenda and I have the honor this week as flying to Minnesota to honor him for 50 years of full-time ministry. He came out of Rhema in 1975, and he came out on fire. He came out with the word of faith burning in his spirit. He came out with the revelation of the new creation, the revelation of redemption, the revelation of the name that is above every name, the revelation of our righteousness in Christ Jesus. It was a seed planted. And over the process of time while I was there, it was being watered. And it was growing. And all of a sudden, the pictures of the past dissipated. All of a sudden, the guilt and the condemnation that was beating me up, it became a thing of the past. Because I understood that God's no longer looking at my past, so why should I? Glory to God. I may have come to Wilmer, Minnesota, wrapped up in blankets, but I left that place robed in righteousness. And you may be here this morning wrapped up in a blanket of guilt and condemnation, but before you leave this house today, you can walk out robed in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So we can grow in the revelation of this. None of us have arrived, because there's evil forces that come against us, telling us we're not enough, telling us that we can't. And the more we think on those things and yield to those things, the more it weighs us down. But the more we become righteous conscious, the more we awake to righteousness, these things shall no longer be an issue in our lives. Say it with me real strong. I'm growing in righteousness. So the righteous shall flourish. Flourish. The Holman translation of Isaiah 54:14. I do believe we have it here. But notice how he says this. And you shall be established on the foundation of righteousness. These are foundational truths in order for us to flourish. It is the first step of flourishing. You shall be established on the foundation of righteousness. You will be far from oppression. You will certainly not be afraid. You will be far from terror. It will certainly not come near you. It is the great exchange, which is enabling us to flourish. So let's now look at this verse again in Psalm 92, verse 12. It says, the righteous shall flourish like what? Shall flourish like the palm tree, number one, the first tree. And then number two, he shall grow like what? Flourish like the palm tree, and then grow like the cedar in Lebanon. So we see two trees here. And both are extremely significant symbolically for you and I as we look at this subject to flourish. Amen. Glory to God. Notice it says, flourish means to thrive. It means to thrive. Flourish also means to increase. To increase. Is there anyone opposed in the house today to increasing? Amen. Increase is a beautiful thing. Yes. You can increase in the knowledge of God. You can increase in the strength of God. You can increase in the revelation in God. And so the psalmist prayed, may the Lord increase you more and more. May, that's my prayer for you. May the Lord increase you more and more. You and your house. You and your children. May you abound in every good thing. Amen. To flourish all means to enlarge. It means to grow. It means to prosper. Where have we heard the word prosper before? 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish, or I pray, above what? All things, that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Another translation, I pray that your everyday affairs would prosper. Flourish, to thrive, to increase, to prosper, to abound, to spread out, to expand. How about this one? To make steady progress. That's been a confession around this house lately. What are we doing around here? We're making progress. You know, we don't claim to have arrived, but we're on our way. I said, we're on our way. We are making progress. We are flourishing in the courts of our God. And I like this. It also means to be at a high point in life. To be at a high point in life. So we see then from the scriptures we've looked at thus far, that beyond any shadow of a doubt, it is the will of our Heavenly Father for you to flourish. It's not the will of God for some to flourish and others not to flourish. No, He is a good, good Father, and all of His children He wants to see flourishing.
Yes, amen. That's right.
We need to be convinced of that. Is it the will of God for all of us to be saved?
Yes.
Well, that word saved is an all-inclusive word. Saved not only from sin, but how about this? Saved from destruction.
Amen.
How about saved from sickness and disease?
Absolutely.
Saved from mental torment.
Yes.
Saved from lack. Saved from poverty.
Yes.
Saved from staying at the same point in our life.
Yes.
But oh, hallelujah, coming on up and increasing in every area of our lives. Say it with me, it is the will of my Father
for me to flourish.
So the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Let's work with that just a moment. Something about the palm tree. A palm tree is upright and a palm tree is fruitful. Oftentimes what palm trees produce is they produce coconuts, and oftentimes they will produce a date. And so you and I, in the Word of God, Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Isn't that good to know?
Amen.
You are chosen.
Yeah.
You are not forgotten.
Amen. That's right.
God chose you. I've chosen you, and I've ordained you that, whoo, glory to God. Somebody says, I want to be ordained. You are ordained. You are the chosen ordained. You are the ordained children of God. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And I've ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Chosen to be fruitful.
Amen.
Not chosen to be fruitless.
Amen.
Chosen to flourish.
Right.
Chosen to bear fruit.
Amen.
For the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
Woo, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I believe I'm looking at a fruitful bunch today.
Amen.
Not a fruitless bunch. Amen. Or fruity, like Brenda just said. Hallelujah. So say it with me real strong. I've been chosen that I should go and bring forth fruit. And then Jesus goes on to say this, and that your fruit should remain. That your fruit should remain. That it shouldn't be taken out from under you, but remaining fruit, growing fruit, flourishing fruit. Amen?
Amen.
A second thing about palms is palm trees flourish in harsh conditions. They flourish in harsh conditions. They may bend, but they never break. In storms, palm trees remain rooted and they bounce back again. How about us in the storms of our life? Anybody ever experienced a storm in their life? Somebody says, well, I'm going through a storm right now. Well, you're the righteous and you're flourishing. And don't forget, you're like the palm tree. You're flexible. You may bend. You may go back. You may go forth. But glory to God, at the end of the day, you're going to stand up tall. You're going to stand up tall. Amen. And then the other thing about palms is they're evergreen. An evergreen is a type of life. Evergreen is a type of vitality. So it really does not matter what the season is or what the storm is. You and I are evergreen. Why is that? Because we're full of life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. And that you might have it more abundantly. I believe this, that we're filled with the fullness of God. And filled with the life of God.
Yes, amen.
Therefore, our leaves shall not wither.
Amen.
Say with me, I'm evergreen.
Amen.
Then another interesting fact about the palm trees, in ancient days, in Israel and in Rome, it was symbolic of victory. It was symbolic of victory. After a victory was won, oftentimes what they would do is they would take the palms and they would wave those palms, symbolic of victory. When I think of them waving their arms with palms, I think about us waving our hands with praise, lifting our voice with adoration, lifting our hands and thanking God. Come on, let's wave our palms today. Let's wave our hands. Glory to God. Thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! Glory to God. I will lift up my hands. I will lift up my voice, not just in the sanctuary, but I will lift up my hands and I will lift up my voice in the living room. I will lift up my hands. I will lift up my voice in the kitchen. Glory to God. I will lift up my hands and I'll lift up my voice in the bedroom. Glory to God. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to lift my voice. For it is the voice of thanksgiving. And it is the voice of victory. And it is the voice of faith that overcomes the world, the flesh, and the devil. Hallelujah. So the righteous, that's us, shall flourish, shall thrive, shall increase, shall make steady progress. The righteous, that's you. Don't let anybody tell you any different. Don't let anybody lie to you and tell you, well, you grew up on the wrong side of the block. I don't know what the wrong side of the block is. We ain't on the block no more. We've been raised up together.
That's right.
Amen. The righteous shall flourish. Oh, we're going to get this word flourish in our heart. Hallelujah. The righteous shall flourish. Just like a palm tree. And we shall grow like cedars in Lebanon. Cedars are beautiful trees. Brenda and I had the privilege of going with Brother Hershey to Lebanon years ago. The cedars of Lebanon are beautiful. And you are beautiful in God's sight. Hallelujah. And now, the cedars in Lebanon are known specifically for their deep root system. Even to the degree, if those cedars grow on a lot of rocks or in a mountainous area, they dig deep so that they can get water. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We got any people that are willing to dig deep?
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. So what does this say to us today? What this says to us is we must be rooted in order to flourish. We must be rooted in order to flourish. Well, rooted in what? Rooted in the promises of God. Now, notice with me in Psalms chapter 1, and look with me, if you would, at verses 1 through 3. We talk a lot about the blessing in this house, do we not?
Yes.
We are a blessed people.
Amen.
Now, I like how the Amplified pulls it up, but you don't need to pull it up. Where it says, blessed is the man, the Amplified says, blessed, happy, and enviable is the man. So we see here now, fortunate, prosperous, enviable is the man. Let's bring the King James back. So this is talking about you and this is talking about me. And then it shows us some of the conditions to appropriate, if you will, this kind of blessing in our lives. He said, blessed is the man that walks not where? How many of you know that there's a lot of ungodly counsel out there? People will pet you and tell you, oh, it's all right. You're only human. You know, there's this old song they sing all over the place. I'm only human. In other words, I'm sinning, but I'm only human. Well, they may be only human, but you are not human. You are superhuman. You are a new creation, a new species that never existed before. Amen. So blessed is the man. I'm not going to walk in the counsel of an ungodly person.
No, not at all.
Why is that? You have to ask yourself, where are they getting their counsel from? From whence does their wisdom cometh? There is a godly wisdom, but there's also a devilish wisdom. And a devilish wisdom is according or after the rudiments of this world system.
That's right.
Amen. So you're blessed. Say it with me, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Notice the next one. Nor stands in the way of sinners. Well, bless God, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to go down to the bar and I'm going to stand in their way and keep them from drinking. You better watch out. It won't be long before you're joining them. I'm just going to go down to the dispensary and tell people not to smoke. You better watch it. See, don't stand in the way of sinners. What do? For sinners, you pray for them. You pray that the eyes of their heart and those things that have blinded them would be peeled off of them. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to be a scorner. I'm not going to curse everything I see. I'm not going to be so moved by watching the news that I just sit there in scorn. I'm not going to sit in that seat. It's good preaching.
It's very good.
It's good preaching for 11:03 a.m. in Hayward, California on Father's Day. This is good preaching post Keith Moore. I kind of saw your expectations wasn't as high when he wasn't here. But oh, glory to God, we preach right through that. Woo, glory to God. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Let's pull that verse up. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Amen. But here's what I want you to see. Let's read verse 2 together. Ready, read. But his delight... But his delight. You know, go to McDonald's and you get a happy meal. How many of you ever been to McDonald's and it wasn't so happy? Better watch what I say here. His delight. In other words, his happiness, his joy, his whole being is delighted in the Word of God. How many of you have ever just sat down in the morning and opened the Word of God and it completely changed your viewpoint of the whole day?
Amen. Yeah.
But his delight is in the Word of God. Now notice this next phrase. And in his Word, what does he do? In his word, he meditates day and night. Day and night. So meditation then also is a key to being rooted, and it is a key to flourishing. Do you remember what Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says? How many of you say, I remember that? If you don't remember that, look. In Joshua 1:8, notice this with me. He says, this book of the law, or the word of God, shall not depart out of thy, what? Out of thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. But what I want you to pay particular attention to is this. The word of God shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now, the word meditate simply means to ponder. It means to reflect. It means to think on. It means to apply to your life. So you don't have to read several chapters a day to grow spiritually. Some of you missed that. You do not have to read several chapters in the Bible a day to grow spiritually.
Amen.
Now you can, and it certainly won't hurt you.
Yeah.
It'll help you.
Yeah.
But I can remember Brother Hagin saying this, the most deeply spiritual men and women that I know. This is quite a statement. The most deeply men and women spiritual men and women that I know take time, and I think he said 15 minutes, to meditate on the Word of God every day. Every day. Day and night. Night and day. Now, I looked up several translations for the word meditate. Really a great understanding I got. The word meditate, according to one translation, is recite it day and night.
Amen.
Recite it day and night.
Yeah.
Another translation says, think about what it says. Think about what it says. The easy to read says, keep on speaking. Keep on speaking. Rotherham's translation says, talk to yourself. And I like this one. I'm not sure which one it is. But it says this, don't let it be absent from your mouth. Don't let it be absent from your mouth. And the voice says this, let it be always on your lips. We should be so schooled in the word of faith that it is in our heart in abundance.
Yes, that's right.
You get the word of God in you in abundance by thinking about it, by meditating it, by speaking it. It should be right down here in the deposit of your heart. So that when the test comes, or the challenge comes, or the pain comes, or the bill comes.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Or the relatives come. No matter what may come your way, out of the abundance of your heart, you shall begin to say. And you shall proclaim. And you shall speak what God has put in you. And the words of God coming out of your mouth, they are sharper than a two-edged sword.
Amen.
They create, they build, they bind, they loose, and they even tear down. So let his word dwell in you richly. Yea, meditate upon him. Think on him. Speak about him. And you shall see the mountains before you be removed. You shall see the diseases that have been arrayed against you dissipate. For I am your God. And I am your Father. And I'm watching over you. And I'm watching over my word coming out of your heart and released out of your mouth. I'm watching over these things to perform them on your behalf.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
So let him perform some things.
Absolutely.
Let him work some things.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes.
You shall meditate therein day and night. Amen. Hallelujah. Now back to Psalms verses chapter 1, verse 3. Now notice what the result is. Anybody in favor of having some results?
Amen.
I think somebody needs to raise your hands again. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Glory to God. Come on, let's say glory to God about three times. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ha ha ha. A final sweep of glory. A final sweep of harvest.
Whew.
Verse 3 is the result. And he shall be. Point to yourself and say, I shall be. I shall be like a tree planted. Like Brother Moore said last week, like that redwood. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I'm like a tree planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now notice this. That bringeth forth his fruit in what? To everything there is a time and a season under heaven. You shall bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf. Hallelujah. His legs shall not wither. His skin shall not sag. His chest shall not fall into his drawers. His leaf shall not wither. We looked at it earlier. That's because we're green. We're evergreen. We're vibrant. And we are alive. We are not withering. Our church is not withering. The vision is not withering. Our members are not withering. Our members are growing strong. Stronger and stronger. Making progress every day. Amen. I'm excited about it. Somebody says, well, Pastor Mark, you've been here 43 years. Aren't you thinking about going and playing golf? No. I play golf if I want to, but I'm not going to do that as my retirement gift. Anyway, we're not withering. I said, we're not withering. And I'm telling you what else is happening. Volunteers are coming into this house.
Hallelujah. Amen.
He said in his word that my people shall be volunteers in the day of his power.
Amen.
It is the day of his power.
Yes.
It is the day of his glory.
Yes, it is.
And some of our teams need some help. Many of our teams need to make some progress.
Yes. Amen.
And we do not believe in burning out our helps ministry here. We do not believe in burning out staff. We believe in burning on. So I think some of you, not all of you, need to take a checkup and ask yourself, what am I doing to bring my supply into the house of the Lord? Am I putting it all on Pastor Tom and Kimberly and Pastor Nancy and Jane and all of our team leaders? Or do I have some sleeves that I need to roll up? And be about my Father's business. What's happening in the world and what's happening in the Bay Area is a whole lot more about just you. It's about him.
Hallelujah.
Jesus said, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? Volunteers. Let's pray about that right now.
Amen.
Volunteers in the day of his power. We call him in. Men at work. Women at work. Glory to God. Brasi felemashte. Glory di gasanya no komalin etias komala vredishe elemo kola pastea. Ha ha. Ha ha ha. And he shall be. And I shall be. Like a tree. Woo, planted by the rivers of water. We're bringing forth fruit. We're not withering. Now notice this. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. Whatsoever he does shall increase. Whatsoever you do shall flourish. You cannot flourish sitting at home. You cannot flourish sitting on your blessed assurance. No. It's a time and it's a season. for people to be activated. And you know what, Pastor Tom, it's happening. It's happening. I know you got a great word coming up. Say it with me, it's happening. Glory to God. Come on, shout it with me. It's happening.
It's happening.
It's happening in this house.
It's happening in this house.
Glory to God. Now go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Y'all still here?
Yes.
What are we doing? We're flourishing.
Flourishing.
We're finding out about it. Amen.
Amen.
Now this is from the Amplified Version. Notice with me in verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ, even Jesus the Lord.
Yeah.
If you're born again, you've received Him. Then He says, walk and regulate your lives and conduct yourselves in union and in conformity to Him. I think it's interesting that He just didn't say, well, because, you know, Jesus is your Lord, you know, you got a free pass. No, He said, because Jesus is your Lord, here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk now. I want you to regulate your lives and conduct yourselves in union and in conformity to who? To Him. You know, I find myself repenting and asking God to forgive me just in case. How many of you know you can repent just in case? That's not being sin conscious. That's me and my heart wanting to be in alignment with His perfect will. And so what I pray many times, Lord, forgive me. Judge myself. For anything and everything there may be in my life that is not in conformity to your will and to your purpose and to your plan for my life. Come on, that's wide, isn't it? It not only has to do with your calling, but it also has to do with the way that you conduct your life. The way you regulate your life. The way you treat others. Amen? Anyway, that's extra. Now notice verse 7. Here it is. I want you to see this. Having the roots of your being. When He's talking about your being, He's talking about your inner man. Your inner man, your spirit man. Say it with me, I am a spirit.
I have a soul.
And I live in a physical body. So He says now, have the roots of your being, your inner man, firmly and deeply. And I want you to notice the phrase in Him is used three times. He wants us to get this. Having the roots of your being firmly and deeply, number one, planted where?
In Him.
Fixed and founded on?
In Him.
Being continually built up in?
In Him.
You see that?
Yeah.
It's not by accident. In Him. In Him. In Him. Let's read the rest of the verse and we'll go back. Becoming increasingly more conformed and established in the faith, just as you have been taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. So when He's talking about being rooted in Him and being built up in Him, what I believe that He's saying is this. We need to be built up and rooted in the revelation of who we are in Him. Who we are in Him. Colossians says that you are complete in Him. We got any in Himers here today? We got any in Christers here today? Rooted, built up in Him. In the revelation that you are complete in Him. In the revelation that in Him you have redemption. In Him, you have strength. In Him, you have healing.
Amen.
Glory to God. In Him, you can do all things.
Amen.
Glory to God. In Him, you've got the money you need. Because you are in Christ, because you are in Him, and you're rooted and you're founded securely on Him, there is nothing that you don't have because it's all in Christ. And all the promises of God are yes and amen in Him. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Acts says it this way, for in Him we live and move and have our being. Oh, somebody shout, in Him I'm living. In Him I'm moving. And in Him I have my being. The Passion Translation says, it is through Him that we live and function and have our identity. Hallelujah. The Father has delivered us from the power of darkness. He's translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. In Him, we are delivered. In Him, we're rooted. In Him, we're flourishing. In Him, we're living. In Him, glory to God.
Yeah.
We're moving mountains.
Hallelujah.
So what have we said today? Well, we said a lot. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree.
Hallelujah.
They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. You're like that palm, upright, stately. You're evergreen. Amen?
Amen.
Harsh times don't move you. You're like that cedar in Lebanon. You're rooted in the promises of God.